We will read Acts 6, 1 through 7, which is the text for today's sermon. Now, in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith.
I haven't met you. My name is Jim. I'm one of the pastors here. Yu Chen, you can come up. In a moment, we'll start the sermon, but a privilege we have here at Redeemer Ann Arbor, being in a university context, is that we get to meet a lot of people and sadly say goodbye to them as well. In the sermon this morning, we started a series last week on the two offices in the church, pastor, shepherd, we looked at last week. That was the focus of the sermon, and this week it's on the role of the deacon. So we had this series because we added a few new leaders in the church, and it doesn't sound like the most exciting series, pastor, then deacon, but I hope we saw last week just the gift that leadership can be for us. And as we come to this role of deacon, it's a different office that focuses on the mercy of Jesus to us. And Yu Chen, some know Yu Chen as Ben, but Yu Chen's story is just a beautiful illustration of how God uses the mercy that we give to others, and in Yu Chen's case, to bring a whole family to Christ. So Yu Chen has been with us a year. He's graduating, moving to New Jersey. He's been very involved in the campus group this year. But he's from Taiwan, a very non-Christian place, not many Christians in Taiwan. As a young child, he attended a Christian school for a few years, so he heard a little bit about God's love. But it was a few years later that his grandfather became ill. None of his family were Christians, but a church stepped in to care for Yu Chen and his family as his grandfather for a few months struggled with sickness and then passed away. And then after Yu Chen's grandfather passed away, his whole family was baptized and became Christian. So a beautiful, wonderful story that really could be the sermon. Like, we could step down after this and we could be done. But his life illustrates how God desires to care for the needy and how, as we as individuals do that, lives can be changed. It's a beautiful mission. But sadly, we are saying goodbye. We're sending you. We're sending you on as you go to this new job in New Jersey, praying that what you learned here about God, about the church, would go with you, and that wherever God takes you, God would use you to spread his mercy and grace. Let me pray for Yu Chen and for us as we come to the sermon. Father, we are so thankful for your care for us, and we thank you for putting us in this place, in this university town, where people come to study, where people come to do research, and often just for a few years. So we get to meet people from all over the country and all over the world. And part of the blessing of this is hearing how your grace is at work all over this globe, that you are most passionate about spreading the good news of Jesus, about spreading your love. And we thank you for the ways that you've worked in Yu Chen's heart and life and family. We thank you for these people, this small church that showed love and showed care for a family grieving the loss of their grandfather. And Father, we pray that you, even today as we come to this sermon, would convict us and encourage us and help us to see the need, the calling, the beautiful calling to walk in love and mercy and kindness. We pray for you, Chen, as he moves to New Jersey, as he starts his new job there, that as he goes, we pray that you would establish him in a community of faith and a church, and that you would use him, what he has learned here, we pray, that he would take with him and establish strong friendships where he can speak the truth and love to those around him. Use him, we pray. Bless him. Go before him now as he leaves this week. Go before him and provide for him in every way. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Blessings. So for the sermon, again, we'll be looking at Acts 6 in a second. But I wanted to start with what is a well-known story from the Gospel of Luke, when a young lawyer comes up to Jesus, and we're told that his main goal was to test Jesus, to try Jesus, maybe to trick him in his words. This young lawyer asked Jesus, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus, knowing that this lawyer was just there to trick him, really, responds with a few questions of his own. He says, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" And the lawyer knew the right answer. He knew the perfect answer from the Word of God. He says this, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and you should love your neighbor as yourself." So then Jesus responds saying, "You are right. Just do this and you will live." Or do this and you will have eternal life. But the conversation doesn't end there. I think the lawyer wanted more out of the conversation, and I think Jesus wanted more out of the conversation. Excuse me. I think the lawyer really wanted to show how good he was. He wanted to be recognized as someone who loved God and really loved his neighbors. And I think Jesus wanted this conversation to continue because he wanted to show this man how far short he fell of God's call upon him specifically to love his neighbor. So the conversation continues because the lawyer says, "Well, then who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor?" Again, I think to justify himself. So Jesus responds by telling this well-known story. A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw this man, passed by on the other side. Now enter the mind of this young lawyer as he's hearing this story. A man fell among robbers. He's on the side of the road, almost dead. A priest, a really good person in their society, right, goes around, ignores him. A Levite, another really good person in their society, goes around. So enter the mind of the lawyer. He's like, "I wouldn't do that. I would care for my fellow Jew. I am the good neighbor," right? But Jesus continues his story. But a Samaritan, a foreigner, for this young man, worse than foreigner. Jews despise Samaritans. So this character comes on the scene in Jesus' story. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed down the road, came to where this man was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, "Take care of him. And whatever more you spend, I will repay when I come back." So again, enter the mind of this young lawyer. Here he's exposed. He knows he would not do this for a Samaritan. He wouldn't do anything close to this for someone so dirty, so worthless in his mind. But here this Samaritan character did. If this is the standard of neighboring, he knows he falls so far short of it. And Jesus, in just a few words, this short story, he's such a masterful communicator, exposes the arrogance of this young lawyer and shows him what it looks like to be a neighbor, what it looks like, what calling we have to share the mercy of God with others. Right, the point this young man needed to see was it's a high calling to be a neighbor, a true neighbor, and he needs grace. Only by the grace and power of God can anyone be a neighbor like this. And I think that's what we need this morning. We need a heightened sense of our calling to love others. We need to see the height of God's calling for us, to love others who are like us, to love others who are different from us, people that we're not drawn towards, maybe. This is God's call for us to share mercy, to share love, to share concern, to move towards people. So we need to see the height of this calling that we all have as human beings. And then we need to see the only way to step into this calling is by understanding the grace of God. Forgiveness for times that we kind of remain in our selfishness. Forgiveness for times where we kind of let the other person that kind of annoys us kind of keep us from love, keep us from showing mercy. So we need forgiveness and we need power. The power that comes from the Spirit of Jesus to step into love, to step into showing mercy. I think we need this story in our lives. Height of the calling and the grace of God to step into it. And as I said, we're talking about the role of deacon today, and I think God's design of this position in the church of deacon helps us to see these things very clearly. There's a connection here. God wants us all focused on mercy. He wants us so much. He wants us so much that he even designed a specific position in the church that focuses on sharing mercy, caring for the needy. And these people who are raised into this role are to be an example to all of us, an example to all of us of what it looks like to serve, what it looks like to sacrifice, what it looks like to step into caring for others and not just thinking about ourselves. So as we start this morning, some obvious questions for us all as individuals, we need to ask, how much is my life marked by showing mercy and care for others? Or is my life mostly about me? From day to day, what am I thinking about? Here's God's call to be people who are showing mercy and care. How much of my life is marked by that? My eyes open to needs around me, and how much of it is I'm just looking at myself and all my problems and my situation? That's one. I think a loving reminder by God today is to think about, where do I focus my attention? Where do I give my time? What is my focus in life? Am I stepping in this calling to show mercy? So that's one. As individuals, we need to do this. And then for those of us who are partnered here at Redeemer Ann Arbor, does this mark us? Does this mark us as a church, as a community? I think it's Tim Keller who says, you want to have a church that if it disappeared from the community, in our case, disappeared from the campus, people would say, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Redeemer's not here anymore. What are we going to do? I think this call of deacon, and specifically this call to be people of mercy, the more and more as we step into this, our prayers that God would use us, not just with each other, we need to show mercy with each other, but on this campus, in this community, where we creatively think about ways to care for the needy around us, so that if Redeemer, poof, disappeared, people on this campus, in this community, what are we going to do? How are we going to continue God's work here? That's the prayer as we come to this. Here's my three questions I want us to work through today to lead us in this theme. Number one, what does God care about? Two, how does God use deacons to extend what he cares about? And three, again, how do we receive this gracious gift of deacons from God? How do we receive this gift? Step into this gift. So first, what does God care about? That's a big question, right? We're talking about God, unlimited God. Could probably pretty quickly think about 20 things that God cares about. In the high school Sunday school class, we recently just finished a series on the Westminster Shorter Catechism. And the first question of the Shorter Catechism, which is this answer, the question-answer kind of educational tool for children to teach them the fundamentals of the faith, the first question is, what is the chief end of man? What is the chief end of man? And the answer is, the chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. So if God created humankind, and the chief end of man is to honor God and to enjoy him, then I think we can see how this helps us to understand God's chief end, right? He created man. We're in the sense the pinnacle of creation, and this is what he wants. He wants us to honor him and to enjoy him. And we could say, God, what is his chief end? That he would be honored for who he is as God, that he would be honored, and that people would find joy in him. He is really the fount of every blessing. He is where humankind is to find joy. So this is big picture. What does God care about? He cares about being honored because he's God, and he cares about people finding joy in him. But as we come to Scripture, I think we can find some different sub-points that serve that greater purpose. And I want us to look at three sub-points in answering this question, what does God care about? Three sub-points. Again, we could add a lot to this list, but here they are. God cares about the needy. God cares about the reach of his word, of his message about Jesus. So the needy, the reach of his word, and God cares about unity. Unity with his people. So first, God cares about the needy. And again, we have to be selective here. There are so many verses that unpack this truth. God cares about the needy and the poor. A few examples. Psalm 12:5, the Lord says, because the poor are plundered, because the needy groan, I will now arise. God is standing up. I will take action. I will place him in the safety for which he longs. He sees the plight of the poor and he says, I am going to do something about it. This is who God is. Another verse, Psalm 72:12. God is the one who delivers the needy when he calls, the poor in him who has no helper. Or Psalm 113, 7 and 8, who is God? He is he who raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. This is what God cares about. What does he cares about the needy. He cares about the poor. And when Jesus comes on the scene in Luke 4, we're told that he comes on the scene in one of his first times of teaching. He takes a prophecy and he says, this is about me. And one of the phrases in that prophecy from Isaiah is that I come to announce good news to the poor. And then the rest of Jesus' life is focused, so much of it is focused on caring for the needy and the poor. So God reveals himself as someone who is deeply concerned about the needy and the poor in this world. And then we see in Scripture, not only does God care about this, deeply cares about it, but he calls us to care about the plight of the poor, the needy. Right? Psalm 82:3, God says to us, give justice to the weak and the fatherless, maintain the right of the afflicted and the destitute, rescue the weak and the needy, deliver them from the hand of the wicked. Proverbs 14, he says, blessed is he who is generous to the poor. And then the early church is formed. In Acts 2, we see them coming together and we're told that they were selling their possessions and belongings and they were distributing to any who had need, caring for the poor. So that's my first point. We're asking the question, what does God care about? Well, he cares about the needy. He cares about the poor. He's not just some distant, far-off God saying, I don't care about these things. No, this marks God. He cares about the plight of the poor. And this should be good news for all of us because this isn't just in the area of economics. This isn't just financially poor. Where we see a theme throughout Scripture that God cares about those who are needy, and as human beings, in some way, we all have needs. In some way, we all have needs, and God cares about those who have needs. And so this mindset is to shape us. If this is who God is, if this is what he cares about, then we are a people who have received this care from God. And we can say with the psalmist, this poor man cried and the Lord heard him. Right? I'm just like the others are needy people around me, but I'm just someone, this poor man cried to the Lord and the Lord heard him. So what does God care about? He cares about the needy. He calls the church to care about the needy. And early on in the history of the church, second century, one church father, Tertullian, wrote this: "It is our care of the helpless, our practice of loving kindness, that brands us in the eyes of many of our opponents." So the church is being persecuted. And this pastor in the church, Tertullian, could say, it's the way we care for the poor, the needy, the helpless, that marks us, that brands us. Our opponents say, only look. Look how they love one another. Look how they care. Look how they show mercy. So what does God care about? The needy and the poor. This week I was in a meeting, and someone brought up this wonderful story of a young man in our church who in the last few weeks was on the streets in Ann Arbor, and someone who needed a blanket came up to him. A homeless person came up to him and needed a blanket. And this young man said initially he walked away, he walked about 20 yards, and for some reason he had the strong impression that he should go back and try to find a blanket for this man who asked for a blanket. So he went back, he said, I'll walk to Target with you. He walked across town to Target, and the whole way he said, it was like my lips were not even my own. I just was sharing about God and God's love to this man. Went to Target, he bought him a blanket, and then they parted. And he said to me, you know, as I thought about the situation, I thought about this other person, I think we're about the same age. He said, you know, as I look at my life, there were times in my young life where my family was right on the poverty line. I only had a mother in my home. And if my mom didn't get a job at a certain point, I know I could so easily be in that person's shoes. And that motivated him to give mercy and care because he knew he was just like him. Just like him. And I believe that's not just the mindset if we have that background. That's the mindset of, should be the mindset of every Christian, because who our God is, someone who cares about the needy and the poor, and because of what we have received from God as Christians. This poor man cried and the Lord heard him. That's our testimony. And it drives us to the same concern for the poor. So what does God care about? The needy. I spent more time there. Two more answers to this question. And we'll move more quickly through them. God cares, secondly, about the reach of his good news, the good news about Jesus. He cares about his word being proclaimed. And again, we could look at so many verses. The prophet Isaiah says that God the Father says, I will raise up, basically, my son to be a light to the nations, that my salvation, the word about Jesus, may reach to the ends of the earth. So this is God's desire for his word, for the message of Jesus to spread. And he sends his son, John 1, Hebrews 1. He is the final revelation of God. He's the word made flesh. God's desire is that his word would spread to every country, to the whole world. And again, he calls us to care about it. Matthew 28, he tells his followers to go to all the nations. So this is what God cares about. He cares about the reach of the story of Jesus. He's passionate about this, and he calls us to be passionate about this same thing. So caring for the needy and the poor, but also caring about the spread of his word. And third, what does God care about? He cares about unity. He cares about unity. Jesus, shortly before his death, prays this: I do not ask for these only, his disciples there, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. I ask that they may be one. His desire is for unity among his followers. And then if you've been with us over the last few months, working through 1 Corinthians, this constant theme, here was an early young church divided. And God says to them again and again through the teacher Paul, I appeal to you that you all agree, there be no divisions among you, but that you may be united in the same mind and the same judgment. Come together. So again, we could stop at any of these points and ask self-reflective questions about ourselves and our church. I encourage you to do that. How do we care about the needy? How do we care about the reach, the extension of God's word, and how do we move towards unity by walking in forgiveness and love to those around us? But I want to move to point two and the theme of this sermon. The emphasis today is that God has designed deacons as a key extension of each of these concerns of God. He's raised up deacons. He's actually wanted to put a position in place to care for the poor and the needy, to care, to share his mercy, to protect the reach, the extension of his God's word, and to preserve unity. And that takes us to Acts 6, the passage that Lorraine just read for us. Now, some would say this might not be deacons here, but at least it's a passage that either establishes or previews the role of deacon. So I think it's helpful here. And if you look at Acts 6 again, I encourage you to have it before you. This is early on in the history of the church. There was a problem. The church was just multiplying, growing. But as the nations came together, there were some problems. As the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by a certain group in the church, a complaint arose against the Hebrews because their widows, the needy and the poor among them, were being neglected. And this was serious. People that had left maybe Judaism, had left the synagogue, their place of provision, now in the church, now they're being neglected. This is a serious problem. So this complaint arose. They were being neglected in the daily distribution of food. These widows were hungry and they needed food. So verse 2, the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, it's not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. So first we see this care for the needy and the poor, but secondly we see this preservation, protecting the reach of the word. It's not right that we should stop preaching. Verse 3, therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the spirit and wisdom. This is important. We need good men to do this, whom we will appoint to this duty, because God cares about these things. But we ourselves, we're shepherds, we're elders, we'll devote ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word, because this is important too. Verse 5, and what they said pleased the whole gathering. Then down to verse 7, and the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. This church, I would say, unified together, moved forward on mission. Because this office of deacon was established to care for the needy, to protect the reach of God's word, and to preserve unity in the church. Because if this complaint wasn't addressed, what would happen to this church? So we see these 3 points emphasized, I think, in Acts 6. These 3 important concerns of God. God didn't just say when this complaint arose, he didn't tell, don't worry about that. You're the church. Just preach and pray. They can find help in other places. No, he cared so much that he raised up this role. Choose 7 men to do this, to lead in this way, to focus on the tangible needs, the real needs of those in the church here in this example. But I think it extends, are there ways that we can care for the tangible needs around us as a church? And this role of deacon was put in place to give focus to this, because this matters to God and should matter to us. So caring for the needy, protecting the word by keeping the shepherds focused on prayer and the preaching of the word. We looked at that last week. And then unifying the church on mission by addressing things that really matter to people. That's why God raised up deacons. And we could spend some time looking through the qualifications of deacons. In the second part of the New Testament, there's a group of letters called the pastoral epistles, the pastoral letters, and we have these qualifications for deacons. But all the qualifications, interesting, in this role, would be things that any single Christian should aspire to. We all should aspire to this list of qualifications: dignified, right? Not double-tongued, not greedy, holding to the faith with a clear conscience, all these things, walking in purity. All these qualifications are to mark any Christian, but it seems that what happens with deacons is they're raised up as models, as examples for the rest of the church, and the rest of the church should be able to look up to them and say, oh, this is how you serve. This is how you participate in church. This is how you share mercy. people raised to lead by example, showing us what God cares about. So now, number three, how do we receive and use this gracious gift from God? How do we receive this gift? And it is a gift, right? This isn't boring stuff. This is so important. We have pastors. We have deacons. Why? You look at our website, you see these different, why? Well, we believe this is God's design for the church, and it's not just, okay, this is an important structure that we need to have. This shows us the heart of God. This shows us our calling. This is so good. What a beautiful picture of God's heart. So how do we receive this gift? Well, some here are deacons this morning. If you are a deacon, know your calling. See the importance of what God calls you to do. You are called to be an example among us of one who serves. And see the exciting opportunity, not just passively responding to needs that happen to come, but actively, because God is passionate about this. We should be passionate about this. Deacons should be. How do we address the needs around us? See the opportunity of sharing the mercy of Jesus with us and with the world around us. See the importance of protecting the preaching of the word, the proclamation of the word, the work of the shepherds to focus on caring spiritually for people, for praying and preaching. See the importance of that role, taking things off their plate so that the preaching can happen and the prayer can happen. See the importance of protecting the proclamation of Jesus. And see the value of your calling, promoting unity in the church. One author, we're actually reading as deacons a book together, and in that book, a beautiful little book on the role of deacons, calls deacons shock absorbers. Shock absorbers in the church is discontent, and like in any community, can spread. When it comes to the deacon in the church, instead of reverberating and expanding as it comes to him or it comes to the deacon, instead of expanding, shock absorbers, dealing with it as leaders in the church, as one who humbly serves in addressing the concerns, dealing with the concerns, being shock absorbers, maintaining the unity of the church that the mission of God would go forward. So if you're a deacon this morning, know your calling and step into that calling more and more and hear the promise of God. Those who, 1 Timothy 3, those who serve well as deacons gain a good standing for themselves and also great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. It's a worthy calling. Step into it. But most of us aren't deacons. So how do we receive not only this message, but this gift? This gift, I hope you see some of what this gift is. This gift is for the church. So number one, this is connected to the church. And how does a person become a part of the church? How do you become a part of this? Well, we saw that illustrated for us at the beginning of the service. How do we partner together, become a part of the church? We recognize our need for Jesus. We recognize what Jesus has done. He gave himself for us, and we are a people who are saying, this poor man, we cried and the Lord heard us, and now we're walking together for him in this world. But to receive this gift of deacons that extend the mercy of God, that protects the word of God and promotes unity and love, to receive this gift, we must be a part of the church, and God has us worship together in a public place to invite people more and more, come, be a part of us, join with us. You don't have to have special gifts. You don't have to have a certain background. You don't have to like walk in obedience for 2 years, then we'll welcome you. No, this poor man cried and the Lord heard him, and then we come and we're a part of this community of sinners, of broken people, of struggling people who are crying out to Jesus, and we found the mercy of God. So how do we receive this gift of being under the example and leadership of deacons who are extending care and mercy and all these things we've talked about? We come to Jesus. And this is a part of the blessing of coming to Jesus. We're a part of this community together. So how do we receive it? It's for the church. We step into the church by crying out to Jesus. And then as a church, how do we receive this gift? We know deacons are not perfect. We're not holding them up as the perfect example in every way. But I believe we are called to follow them more and more as they step into service and ministry, and maybe at times call us, encourage us to step into ministry and service to others. We follow their lead. And maybe for some of us, we desire to be one ourselves. We see the way this is such an opportunity. We look at Yuchen's life and we say, oh man, sharing the mercy of Jesus is such an opportunity to see the extension of God's word. I want to be a deacon too. I want to step into this. There's this need that I would love to focus on. We desire the office. And we join them, lastly, we join them in the joy of service. We believe with all our hearts that it is, as Jesus said, more blessed to give than to receive. So we will live this diaconal life of mercy and care. We will be like the Good Samaritan stepping into this because we cried to the Lord and we felt his mercy. Now we will give it, and we know there is more blessing in giving than receiving. I was reading this week in Proverbs, and this verse fits so well here. Solomon, I believe, says, all day long, he craves and craves, but the righteous gives and does not hold back. Now, it's Proverbs. It's a little hard to understand, a little foggy, but what is Solomon saying? There's one person that only lives focused on himself and on what he wants, and all day long he craves and craves. You never get that craving satisfied. If you're living for yourself, if you're living for your wants, all day long he craves and craves. But the righteous person, we would say the one who's cried out to Jesus and tasted his mercy, he gives and he doesn't hold back. He's understood, she's understood the joy of service. It is more blessed to give than to receive. You step in to this diaconal ministry, whether we're deacons or not, the joy of service. So just a few thoughts as we close. There are certain lessons for us as a church. I want us to see the heart of God. I want us to see the height of our calling and examine ourselves as individuals and as a church. I want to hear all of us to hear the warm invitation of God to be a part of this. But I also think there are a few other ways that we need to apply this and ways that we could grow as a church. Number one, it's been our desire from the beginning, as Bart prayed, not to view our role here as establishing the church in Ann Arbor. But we are a part of many churches seeking to do the same thing in Ann Arbor. And I think this role of deacon helps us here. We can pray for Red Tree right down the hall. We can pray for the three other churches in this building and other churches in this community because it's not about us, but it's about Jesus. That's number one. But I think when we hear this role of deacon and God's care for the needy, right? How many needs are there around us in Ann Arbor? How many needs are represented here, but then how many needs are represented on this campus, in this community? 10? No. So many needs. This week, I was listening to the book Anxious Generation by Jonathan Haidt. Just talking about kids raised today with social media, with screens, and how that affects them and the loneliness that comes and the problem with social. That's a need in our community. Maybe one church could say, man, we are so passionate about this. We want to address this need. Or maybe a few churches, you know, see the abortion clinic across town and they say, man, this is so hard to see. How do we as this church, maybe few churches, address this need? And maybe the deacons stand up and say, hey, this is a great need that we could focus on. Or you can think of the homelessness around us. You think of all these needs, right? We could list hundreds of needs in our community. And maybe Redeemer Ann Arbor steps into this need and this need and this need, and this is our focus, and we're sharing the mercy of Christ, and God's mission expands through us. And Red Tree says, well, we're going to pick this need. It's the same as yours, but also this need and this need, and see God's mission spread from them. And as we do this as individuals and as a community, we could have 100 churches in Ann Arbor because there are thousands of needs. And so we will be a church that prays for them and prays that God leads them forward in caring for the needy around them, protecting the reach of God's word, preserving unity between us and among us, that Jesus would be made known. I think this specific theme of God raising up deacons should cause us to think about God's kingdom here in this way. May we live it as a church. May we encourage other churches to live this. We're not in competition. We're not in competition to get the most people in our room. Right? We walk by and say, how many do they have? How many do we have? That's not the game. The game, maybe the mission is, God cares about the needy. I'm a poor man who cried as a needy, needy person. The Lord heard. Now, I want to live my life with you, caring for the needy around me and seeing others like Yu Chen's family, others come to see the love of God for them, because I can't imagine living without the love of God in my life. Well, may God help us. May God help us to see the beauty of this calling, to step into this more and more. May God help our deacons to lead us by showing initiative and moving towards needs in our community. And may God help us to be willing servants, sharing the care and love of God for the needy, protecting the proclamation of Jesus, and living with forgiveness and love so that we are a unified body. That Jesus Christ, in the wonder of his gospel message, he gave himself for us, full forgiveness, complete freedom. I don't have to prove myself, all because of what Jesus has done. And may we be like this early church in Acts. If you look at verse 7, they multiplied. They multiplied. This building, not big enough for Red Tree and us and all the, they multiplied because we're living with God's heart, living with God's heart. May God help us. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much that these things are true and that we can think about them together. And as we do, we realize again our neediness. With so many needs around us, we feel our weakness. So we pray that you would focus us as a church with the gifts that you've given to us, that we can step into more and more, caring for specific needs. We live in a place where the nations come. We live in a place with such loneliness and neediness. As individuals and as a church, may we share your heart, your concern for the needy and the poor, and may you use us to show others your love, to lead others to Jesus. As we close the service, please continue to speak to us, encourage us, convict us where we need to be convicted, and most of all, lead us to Jesus, we pray. We need him. Amen.